The Weekly Dish podcast is presented by Common Ground Minnesota. Food and farming conversations from Minnesota women in agriculture. Learn more at commongroundminnesota.com or follow them on Instagram at commongroundminn.
Hey everybody, it's Steph March for Common Ground Minnesota. Listen, food brings out the passion in people, so let's talk about food together. Common Ground Minnesota is an online resource for you to do that, and it's run by volunteer women farmers from Minnesota of all walks. We're talking big farms, small farms, we're talking dairy, we're talking produce. These women in agriculture are growing and raising the food that we all eat. We love to have a chat with them about what it means to be sustainable and what does it mean when they're using pesticides and why are they doing it. All of this is available at Common Ground Minnesota website. It's commongroundminnesota.com, and then on that new website, you guys, there are videos, there's, you know, FAQs, there's topics, there's a great blog, all sorts of things, and recipes, and farm dogs too, by the way. So there you go. commongroundminnesota.com is your great resource for everything food and families and farms. Don't forget, check them out on Instagram at commongroundminn.
One time is it.
That is our friend Maida Mains with the Weekly Dish
theme song. The new
she's
Weekly
Dish.
She's
got a new band she's putting together.
Does she?
Yeah, I saw it on Instagram.
I did see them. I did see their grouping, and they looked stone cold hot.
They did.
I mean, I love that. I think that can be stone cold hot at the same time.
Stone.
It's like, yeah, no.
Cold and hot.
Thanks for joining us. Coming back for top two at hour two.
Giving the 0-1 time.
And now, the Weekly Dish presents...
Top two.
The top two...
Pick your best two.
In hour two.
All right, give me two. Winning.
All right, this is the time of the show, you guys. We like to talk about things that we are super in love with this week.
Yes.
What's your first one?
I love this thing you can get at a lot of events around town, and it's a woman. Her name is Latunji Abram, and she has Latunji's Palette, which is... peach cobblers, and there's a vegan version and a full buttery version. If you are at an event and you see Latunji's Palette's booth, stop and get yourself a little cobbler.
I've been hearing that these cobblers are the bomb.
They're legit. Yeah. And she is such an interesting woman.
She might be having a...
She's having a GoFundMe right now. But she's had some issues.
Oh.
Apparently, someone on her Facebook and Instagram did a little dance with the cobbler and looked like an underage girl doing a provocative dance. But it was a grown woman doing a dance because she was so excited about the cobbler. So someone reported it to Facebook and they have taken her pages down. And she's trying to get them back, and she probably will. But in the meantime, she's in the middle of fundraising because she wants to open a place on Park Avenue. She is opening a place on Park Avenue, 1400 Park. She's just a...
in Minneapolis? Or
yes, okay, Minneapolis. Yeah. She's just a delight. She's a really interesting woman, and she was talking to me about her four generations of bakers in her family and how everybody else had the biscuits and the barbecue. And she's like, I had the desserts.
Yeah.
So if you see Latunji's Palette around, she's going to be up at Arden Bayfront Park in Duluth. She was at Stone Art. She's all over town.
Yeah, and she's being a big push this summer. I've seen her around. I think that you can get her at Handsome Hog. I think they carry her too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I think they let her, peach cobbler. Desserts are there.
It's delish.
That's what I hear. Okay. I'm going to say my first one is I ate fried calamari, and I put it on my Instagram because I had not ordered.
Where is that place with the fried calamari that looked so good?
It's the other side of Italian Eatery, you know, which is just down
The grab and go.
It is. It's like seating. So here's the deal. Italian Eatery, cute little Italian place, Nokomis area. Yep. And they basically carved out, they had kind of a side section, you know, and their patio. They put their patio, they moved their patio to the front of the restaurant, and then they carved this area out and they painted it and recast it as Un Dito. And it's sips and snacks, and it's a walk-up window. You walk up to the window and you order your thing, and then you go sit on the patio, or you take it home, or Yum. You do whatever. But there's, it's just these little teeny, like, it's small plates. And what they want to do is they sort of want this like seaside Sicilian, you know, like the piazzas are filled with people just snacking and drinking.
Happy hours. Yep.
Yeah. That's what they want to be. And they're, and here's the thing for me is they're open for lunch. It is hard to find lunch these days, you guys.
I know it is.
Super hard. So, and I love the fact that I sort of was looking at it and I was thinking, I'm going to grab something to go. And I decided to get the fried calamari because I haven't ordered fried calamari in 100 years because I'm always disappointed. And it was really good.
Remember the filial calamari?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. Well,
just
remember
a moment there.
Buca calamari for me was everything because it was this huge and it was kind of a pile of like tentacles and rings and it was a little spicy and they had that spicy marinara. I loved it.
I wonder if they still have it.
I'm sure they do, but I'm sure they've ruined it. Because it's Planet Hollywood or somebody who owns it now. They ruined everything in that beautiful restaurant.
It happens.
Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Anyway.
All right.
All right, what's
so,
your second?
Undito fried calamari.
Yeah. Yep.
Mine is Grass-Fed Cattle Company, and these are folks that have a grass-fed cattle farm, and they also do chickens and pork, and then they have neighbors that are also doing grass-fed, and they've put together this collective, and you can order online and they will deliver, or you can pick it up at a location in Edina that they have. What's interesting to me about this is I really like pork that comes from farms instead of from the grocery store.
Sure.
But I didn't have the opportunity to do a half a pork this year or a whole pork and share it with someone. But when you go on their website, first of all, you'll notice that a lot of the things are sold out. So keep scrolling because it's always updating and changing because the product is so fresh. But you can get a half a pork, half a pig, and it tells you exactly, instead of like in other traditional venues where you then go to processing and they're like, you're going to get a roast, you're going to get 12 pork chops, you're going to get 3 pounds of ground pork. Like, they just tell you exactly what you're going to get, which I appreciate.
Yes, I do like that.
I don't want to have to make all those choices. It was kind of just like, I don't know. Can't you just cut the pork and give it to me?
Right.
And they do. So it is Grass-Fed Cattle Company. I podcasted with them about a month ago and I'm getting ready to post the episode and I was thinking about them and like, oh yeah, I meant to go to the website and look. And then I went and they have bacon, like just bacon.
Yeah.
They have just lots of great grass-fed pork products and animal products, beef products, chicken, lamb, all of it.
Okay. I like that. Yeah, I think, do they have a store in Edina?
It's not technically a store. It's almost like a refrigeration area, but you can pick stuff up there.
Okay,
and they will
because
package
I remember,
and box it up for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I've kind of like looked at it and been like, is that
you
a place
like
I need to go
in
stop
and
in?
Look around.
No, there's not that.
It's just a central facility to pick up.
It's like a ghost kitchen.
Yep.
For meat. Got it. Okay, my second one is going to be, I ran around and did sandwiches for Fox 9. You and I were both live on Fox 9 the other day.
I saw your sandwich spread looked good.
Yeah, and it was, besides the fact that I can't stop loving that muffaletta at at Mini Row Market. I just totally lost the name in my mind. But I wanted to shout out the bun mi at Mi Sant. Because apparently, I felt like I had been talking about them forever. And I feel like apparently I haven't. Because every time I say it to someone, they're like, what?
So, I just love a good bun mi.
Yes.
And they have good pho there too, don't they?
I don't know because I have never eaten it. Because all I can do is get as many bun mi as I can and jam them into my face. Because I love the fact that they have the classic one. You know, they go with the classic pate and they've got, you know, all the pork and everything else. But then they do special ones. They have like with eggs in them. And then they do a kimchi bulgogi Korean beef one.
Oh, that sounds
good.
That
is spectacular.
Any bulgogi is good bulgogi.
Oh, God, I just love Korean bulgogi beef. I just love it. And so it is up in Roseville.
The former Baker Square.
Yes. And it's like they have, and by the way, their breads, like if you want to pick up some of the baguettes and everything else, you can buy those there. The other thing is I drank so much bubble tea this week. I don't know why. It just happened. I just drank a bunch of bubble tea and their royal tea was really good.
Okay.
So
you have
one little bonus.
I like shrimp and grits and the Revival shrimp and grits was really good. It had like a hammy mushroom gravy situation that I thought just pulled it all together, amped it up, served with some pea shoots on top. I haven't had great shrimp and grits in town. And I was like, oh, this is real good.
I might have just had like a side of those grits. Just like
the consistency of the grits are really good.
They are. They've nailed it for sure. They did.
Also, speaking of, just because I'm thinking of Southern food now, the collards at Handsome Hog. If you just go there to get the collards, because collards are hard to do and people underestimate them.
Well, and they get swampy if they don't get, if they're not taken care of. People just sort of like, unless you really, really pay attention to them, I feel like.
And they're just so good there. And the bite of the vinegar is just right. And they're a little sweet, a little sour. They're great.
Great. All right. There you go. There's our top two and our two plus bonusers. I love it. All right. We're going to take a quick break, you guys, and we're going to come back. I think we're going to talk about some tots.
I got a funny story.
We got a good story. We'll be right back. This is The Weekly Dish on My Talk 107, brought to you by Knob Creek.
Are you thinking of buying a house this year but have been deterred by this crazy market? This is Stephanie Hansen from The Weekly Dish, and not only did I buy a house with Carrie and Sue from Lake Syria Realty, but Ellie is too. Ellie's a first-time homebuyer who was passively looking for a condo when she spotted a cute little bungalow in West St. Paul on Facebook. I told her to call Carrie and Sue with Lake Syria Realty, and Ellie was impressed with how easy Carrie made the process. She looked at the home twice in one day and had an offer in the hands of the seller by the end of that night. Carrie and Sue will work with you to help you find the perfect house. They know all the tricks of the trade so that you can choose the home without necessarily paying the highest price or overpaying. With mortgage rates being at historic lows, people are qualifying for higher priced homes, but with lower payments. Ellie's a first-time home buyer, and the mortgage lender found a first-time buyer program that is able to keep her monthly payment about the same as a one-bedroom apartment, but instead, she's building equity in her first home. If you're thinking about buying or selling, call Carrie and Sue at Lake Syria Realty to get started. That's Carrie and Sue at carrieandsue.com from Lake Syria Realty.
Oh, I do like that song by that little Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah, I think every time we play it, we say we love it. I know, it's great.
It puts you in like that place of being in high school and in love and just, yeah, you can just feel it, like that first love.
Yeah.
I like songs that do that. Bring you back to a place, a memory. I'm going to bring you back to a place. It's a place, Stephanie.
I'm like, how is this started? How's
last
the second?
Saturday.
Okay.
So we started out talking about the zucchini last Saturday. And the reason is because I have been carrying from house to house 20 zucchinis that I am making stuff. But as fast as I make stuff, more come. And
yes, that is called growth.
If you are a gardener, produce. You know, like you have so much zucchini right now. You're giving it to neighbors. You're bringing it to work. So I was doing a Fox segment and we had just talked about all the zucchini things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do? I've only been writing my cookbook. I haven't done anything. I haven't been anywhere. And I was like, oh, zucchini. I can do zucchini. So I decide that I'm going to bring all my zucchini. Of course, I have the three that are a little misshapen because I had the pollinator problem that I told you about last weekend. Yep. So I have all my zucchini and I'm going to make stuff. So I decide that I'm going to make a zucchini chocolate chip muffin. That's always good. People like that.
Yeah.
And they're good for kids. So I get those and I make the muffins, and I made them after I got home from Valley Fair, which was also funny because I was exhausted.
Oh my God.
I'd walked around all day.
You just want to be on a couch.
But I needed to because I had to go into Fox the next morning,
right,
I haven't gone into the studio in a long time. That requires things.
Yeah.
Like you got to set up and have all your stuff. And so I'm like, okay, I'll just make the muffins. Then I remembered that after the show last weekend, we got a tweet from this woman, and her name is Janine Gatsky, and she listens to Weekly Dish. And she sent us a recipe and said, hey, this is one of my favorite things to do with an overabundance of zucchini. So I was like, oh yeah, I got that recipe. So I look at the recipe. And it is for zucchini tots.
Yeah.
Now, I don't own a mini muffin pan. It's 10:30 at night. I'm preparing to do live TV in the next day and getting all the stuff in my bag. And so I was like, okay, I don't know if I'm going to have time to make the zucchini tots, but that recipe looks great. So I go to bed, lay in bed worrying about all the cookbook things and go to bed. Wake up the next morning at 6. And I was like, huh, I got some time. I'm going to make the zucchini tots. So I get all the stuff together and I amend the recipe a little bit because, again, I don't have the mini muffin tins. I felt like I didn't have all the right stuff. So I kind of just zhuzhed it together.
Yeah.
Then I was like, OK, these really need a sauce. So I got to make a sauce. One of my handy dandy secret weapon recipes is cottage cheese. OK, I always have cottage cheese. I blend it up and put it in lots of things. I had cottage cheese. I had plain yogurt. I had some dill. I had some garlic. So I made like a little ranchy sauce.
Yeah.
Okay, now I've got sauce. I've got the zucchini. They're not tots. I'm like, are these muffins?
Yeah, they're muffins.
Are they chips? Like, what are they? So I think
Wait,
I just
called
them.
Wait, did you put them in the muffin tin?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So I think I just called them zucchini savory muffins with ranchy sauce.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's good. Cheesy. They were very cheesy.
What was the cheese in the muffins?
I used Parm.
Oh, you did Parm. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay, I've got now the cheesy tot muffin situation. Yeah. I've got the ranchy sauce. I've got the chocolate muffins. And then I was going to make one of my favorite things to do with zucchini is just to shave it with a vegetable peeler,
sure.
Toss it with olive oil, lemon juice, hit it with a little lemon zest. You can put some basil in there, mint, whatever, and put it on a platter and then throw it with a little bit of nuts, pine nuts, almonds, whatever works.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little cheese. I had goat cheese. I like it with goat cheese. You can also use it with feta or mozzarella.
It's just a
delicious, easy, light summer salad. So I'm going to make that with Jason. So I get on the show. I get all my stuff situated. I get all prepared. My muffins look great. The tots are there.
Yeah.
We start out the segment and he starts shaving. He apparently has never shaved a zucchini before because he's like holding it out at arm's length, shaving it like you would peel a potato. And he's going around the zucchini. I'm like, wait, at some point just...
He's going around it like a barrel?
Yeah, like he was taking off the skin. And I was like, oh, you don't need to do that. You just can do planks. Like, just keep shaving the plank.
He was peeling it,
yes.
And you wanted him to plank it.
Got it. Yep. So we kind of laughed about that. And we get to the point where he's going to try the tot and the recipe that I amended from Janine's recipe. So I tell the story about a recipe. He takes the tot, he dips it into the sauce, and he's like, oh, these are really good. And I'm like, I know, they are super good and a great thing for kids. And he's like, well, what's in the ranchy sauce? And I was like, oh, my secret hidden weapon. Like, if you need to make a quick sauce, you just blend up cottage cheese. And he was like, his face just went pure, like, static. And I'm, like, continuing to talk, but I'm looking at him, and he's just looking at me like he got stuck on cottage cheese. And I know from this show,
yes,
people get stuck on cottage cheese. Like, some people like it. Some people don't love it. I do the cottage cheese sour cream noodles that people were freaked out about. He's just silent, but he's kind of he's laughing.
Yeah.
I'm like trying to keep going, but I'm laughing because I know I've screwed up somehow with cottage cheese. Turns out he hates cottage cheese. That him and Ted, who's in his ear at Fox, Ted's going, I'm out, cottage cheese, I'm out. And that's why Jason's laughing. But apparently Jeff, the other producer, eats cottage cheese in front of them every day.
Because they hate it.
They hate it.
And so he eats it.
With different things in it. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of like Donna used to eat the tuna fish here that would gross everybody out. It is the equivalent to that.
Okay.
So he's just eaten cottage cheese. He can't believe it because he actually did like it.
Yeah.
So after the break, he went back for another round of the ranchy sauce.
Yeah.
But he was like, Hanson, I cannot believe you just fed me cottage cheese on the air. Like, and I didn't even know. I was like, I didn't know. And if I think back, maybe somewhere along the line, I knew this about him, but you forget stuff. I can't remember who likes cottage cheese and who doesn't.
I actually don't know if I would ever identify that with him.
Oh, so the recipe that I made and Janine's recipe, I put on my blog with the video so you can watch his face. But the whole thing was just very funny. And like live TV, you know, like it's hard. Like you forget stuff. I forgot the olive oil for the salad. I had to wipe some of the dishes that I used down. And I wiped them with Windex because that was all that was under the counter. And then he went to wipe his face with the napkin that had the Windex on it. So he was like, I just ate Windex.
Yeah. No, yeah, my sandwiches on Fox 9, I had the mini roe. I had this great beef sandwich that they gave me, and it was supposed to be melted. And I had this whole plan where I'd get it in the microwave, and they're like, yeah, the microwave doesn't work. I'm like, okay. All right, that's fine, you know. And
yeah,
it's just
you're
like,
just punting. You gotta.
But it's TV, and like most of the time, we're the only ones who know that. You know what I mean? And so we just kind of keep going, and you just have to do it. But like with Jason, of course, like, his reactions are the prize. Like, that's the best part of the show.
And him just sitting there looking at me while I'm laughing And Jeff is also behind the scenes laughing. And yeah. Ted's in his ear going, I'm out. Cottage cheese.
Well, I got to say, it's hard. I know my kid ate cottage cheese with avocados like most of his growing up life.
Yes, we all ate cottage cheese. Good protein.
Nope, not me. Nope.
Okay, that's so funny. I also got to say moist.
Yeah.
My moist muffins three times. And then he wanted me to change what I called the muffins. He's like, please stop saying the word moist. And so I was like, well, the other word's worse. He's like, what's the other word? Can you guess?
No, you told me the story.
Okay. Wet.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's no good. And then I was like, nobody wants a dusty muffin. He's just, his face is the best.
I mean, that is the fun stuff. Seriously.
That was good. Bringing back the old live TV. But Janine, thank you for, again, sending us this recipe.
I know.
I made it. They were great. I add the recipe for the ranchy sauce.
And we'll give you guys credit whenever we can. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, it's like, I think that's the best part about all of this. It's just sort of like, we all know how to cook and make and do these things. And sometimes you just forget. I love the fact that there's people like, do this. And you're like, yes, that's brilliant.
Because I've still got 20 zucchini left.
Are you going to do, I know, do you, what are you going to do with the rest of it?
I don't know, Stephanie.
I think you need to just bake a bunch of zucchini bread and freeze that. Because that would be like
smart.
A thing that you can pull out in the wintertime and be like, oh, and have like a little zucchini bread French toast. That's delicious.
Yes. My problem, I need to get to where my bread pan is, and it's up at one of the houses.
Oh.
So I didn't have it at home. But these are first world problems, aren't they?
They really are.
I can't find my bread pan.
Yeah, or zucchini bars.
My loaf pan.
Make some bars or pancakes.
Bars.
The fritters for me are what I always love, but I can't figure out how
fritters.
To... Do I haven't figured out the venting in my house yet, so I don't want to fry anything yet.
Yeah,
I gotta have windows open. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's a real issue if you don't have the good venting. You gotta figure that stuff out. I do a lot of that stuff on the grill up north.
That's true. You do. That's a smart idea. All right, you guys, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we have Gavin Kaysen on the line. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the Weekly Dish.
Hello, Weekly Disher. Spring has sprung, and that means the best-tasting wild-caught seafood is available from Sitka Salmon. You may have heard us talk about Sitka Salmon before on the show, and that's because we are huge fans. Sitka Salmon standards for quality are unrivaled in the industry because, you see, Sitka Salmon is a community-supported fishery. The fish they process for you to eat are caught by a collective of small boat fishermen, fisherwomen, and families. Some of these families have been fishing for multiple generations. And knowing the boat your fish comes from is not typical of most fish you buy. When you buy a Sitka salmon share, you're getting the freshest quality fish you can, and you can trace the fish back to its source. With your share, you're part of the Sitka family, and you get monthly fish shipments of salmon, lingcod, crab, tuna, halibut, and you get the freshest fish while it's in season. They even have recipes, but I've been steaming my cod in my Instant Pot. The fish is so delicious, you don't even need to do much to serve it other than cook it and eat it. So Weekly Dishers, here is how you get your $25 discount for the first month of a premium Sitka salmon share. Type SitkaSalmonShares.com/weekly dish and you save $25. So save $25 on your box. Again, type Sitka, S-I-T-K-A, SalmonShares.com/weekly dish and you save $25.
You guys are having a little hard time connecting with Gavin right now, but I do want to talk a little bit about, can we just talk about quickly the movies that are coming out that I'm so excited? The Aretha movie.
Jennifer Hudson.
Holy moly, I'm so excited for that.
I feel like she's going to bring that music back into the zeitgeist, like that it will be trending on the charts.
Yeah, I hope so. I am the story of Aretha Franklin to me is one of those, you know, not known. Like, why don't we know about the Queen of Soul? My God.
Yeah.
We should know her story as much as we know about Elton John's and
that's right.
Everybody else.
Tina Turner.
Oh, I love the Tina Turner doc.
The Tina Turner biopic was really good.
I thought it was great. The other one I'm excited for, by the way, is the House of Gucci.
Oh,
one.
That promo with Jared Leto and Adam Driver.
Gaga.
Boy, okay, I know. I got to go through the whole list.
Mother
though.
Or father, son, and House of Gucci.
It's great that she's getting another dramatic role that isn't music based because I think it will help solidify her place.
I know.
In,
Yeah, seriously.
She's great.
I know. I think that she's, I think that she's got like, you know, lots of, I think she's got lots of range and I think she's got a lot more that she wants to add.
And she's a good actress.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have her sing in order to make it a good show.
No.
She can, I think, carry it from an acting perspective, like American Horror Story.
Okay. Yeah, no kidding. I couldn't finish that one.
I haven't watched any of the American Horror Story and my daughter gets so mad at me. She's like, they're actually really good. Like that first one with Connie Britton. She's like, you would like it.
The first Horror Stories?
Yeah, she said like the first three seasons were legitimately good.
Okay, quickly, are you watching The White Lotus, by the way?
Yes.
Is everybody watching The White Lotus?
Okay, but they've only had one episode. Is there a few more?
There's been like four.
Oh, I'm behind.
You got to catch up.
Connie Britton can do no wrong. After watching White Lotus, I sat and watched old Nashville singing videos.
Oh.
That show Nashville, if you just want like a pop culture moment, it's great show. Also, Friday Night Lights, great show.
I've never been a Friday Night Lights fan. Hey, Rachel, he did say he's available. So if you can get, are you trying him right now? You got him? Okay. But I've never been a Friday Night fan because football is hard for me. It's too meat-heady and all the rest. I just don't love it.
There's not even that much football.
Everyone says it's a story about a marriage. It's not a story about football. But it is. There's so much football around it that you can't get away from it. There's still meat-heady football stuff.
Well, there is Taylor Kitsch. Come on.
I mean, okay. That's fine. Do we got him? All right. We are joined by Gavin Kaysen. Are you there, Gavin? I know you are out and about on your Saturday.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I had a baseball game.
You have, like, kids baseball and stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, my son has a baseball game. So I'm like, oh, I should probably leave him. Go find somewhere quiet before they hear strike ball.
Oh, God. I'm like, calling. Well, we wanted to have you on because we wanted to talk about the Synergy series, which you have brought back this year for 2021. And I'm so excited for that. I kind of was worried that you were never going to do it again. What made you decide to bring this series back?
Well, so the lineup that we have for this year was the lineup that we had for 2020, but COVID shut it down.
Oh, okay.
And so all of the chefs had already committed, and then we had a lot of people who bought the season passes literally two years ago when it went up for sale.
Oh.
And so 2 years ago, you know, I don't know, 90 people bought all four dinners.
Oh, God.
And so when COVID hit, we, of course, reached out to everybody and said, you know, our goal is to bring it back, but we're not totally sure. And they said, well, we trust you will. And so just keep the money and we'll keep the tickets and hopefully it comes back. And we said, okay. And so now we said, well, we better bring it back because we've had all our money for 2 years. So we should do something.
You should probably throw a little party for them and such, right? Yeah.
Parties. Yeah. So we were able to call all the chefs and get them to commit to it. And, you know, the biggest difference this year versus the other years that we've done it is that we're not able to spread it out in the full year. We're sort of consolidating it all. So we've got John and Vinny from Animal, and John and Vinny's in L.A., and then they're in October. Michael Filominoff is in November. Thomas Keller's a week after that, and then 3 weeks after that is Missy Robbins.
You're going to be busy. It's going to be a great fall.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
One of the things that you're doing this, so the people, they're sold out as far as those passes go, but they're still doing, you still have like single dinner tickets. Like you can still basically sign up to go eat at one of the dinners, right?
Yep. So on Monday at 10 a.m., you can go into the Spoon and Stable website, which then like clicks you into our talk interface, which is where the reservations live. And so those tickets, those single dinner tickets will go on sale. I presume that they'll sell out by 10:01.
Yeah, I do too.
And it's just kind of been the history of Synergy. I mean, it's not, you know, people, unfortunately, I understand that they get upset, but we don't really have much of a say in how people gobble those things up.
Right.
But we are offering two other opportunities to be a part of the experience. And one is that we're going to open up the bar and the lounge. We're going to do kind of an abbreviated tasting menu, and those tickets will go on sale probably like 2 or 3 weeks before the dinner actually happens.
Okay.
So that will not go on sale Monday. So people will have another chance to buy tickets for the experience.
Great.
And then in addition to that, on the Friday in which every chef is here from noon until 1, we're doing a dialogue one-on-one series conversation. And those tickets are only $10. We're doing them at the Holden Room for one of them, and then we're doing it at the American Swedish Institute for three of them. And, you know, the capacity is pretty high there. So 100% of those proceeds go to a foundation, Appetite for Change.
Which I think is great. Yeah. Are you, and sitting down, I think this is something that, I mean, I kind of always... Obviously, I love a discussion.
I know. I'd rather
hear
people talk about the
food. I'm probably
going
to go to the Q&A before. I'm going to buy those tickets first. But, you know, the thing is like, I think about something that's interesting is knowing that we have all talked about how this year has affected us as an industry. But then now really having them coming after, you know, instead of having them come before, but now having them coming after this and having you have a sit down with them. I'm kind of excited to hear about what their perspectives have been over the last year, you know?
Yeah, yeah, us too. And I mean, you know, the intention was really to try to get more, you know, the goal of Synergy when I created it 5 years ago was always to try to not only bring these chefs to our community and show them what we're doing here, because that's often how chefs discover different communities, is by being invited to them to do events, but also, you know, then to be able to listen to their stories. And I recognize that not every industry person can get off on a Thursday or Friday night.
Right.
And so this gives us an opportunity to say, listen, Friday at noon, most of us are not going into work at exactly noon, or we can push off by an hour, and we can go in and listen to these conversations and be a part of a Q&A that is hopefully meaningful.
Yeah.
And that people can take things away from.
Yeah. And I really, you know, I know we did two of those with you, the one with Dominique Crenn and then the one with April Broomfield. And I really feel like those, to me, were so rewarding to sort of get outside of the general media presentation of those people, you know? And I think being able to experience their food is one thing, and that's a beautiful way of experiencing their art. But having that intimate moment to sit and listen to them tell stories is so rewarding. And I'm so excited that you're doing it, because, like, there's a, you know, there is, I'm sorry to say this, a synergy between you guys, you know, as colleagues, that I think that us as interviewers, we can't really pull that. So I'm kind of excited to have you be doing it. Are you feeling good about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's gonna, I'll be on stage, but Allison Arth, who has a company called Salt and Row, who you know.
Yeah, I know Allison.
Been a part of our development of Sonia Hospitality the last 7 years. She's going to have a big part in helping moderate them as well.
Oh, great. Okay.
And so, you know, we're going to try to tag team a lot of it, because to your point, I mean, the goal is to try to find, you know, to have some vulnerability in these conversations.
Yes.
And talk a little bit about what it means to be where we all are today.
Yeah.
But not be so inside baseball that if somebody's not in the industry and shows up, kind of walks away and is like, wait a minute, I didn't understand all of that. So we have to find that balance somewhere. And I feel that Allison will help us create that balance.
True. She's marvelous. She sees the industry in a way that is truly, I mean, and she expresses it on her Instagram in beautiful ways. I'm just a fan. Huge fan. So, yeah, okay. So yeah. People can buy tickets starting tomorrow at 10 a.m., but you're kind of saying good luck. And is there any tricks that, I mean, is there a robo dialing or anything?
Well, so it's all, I mean, the good thing is it's all, no, no, but not tomorrow. It's Monday.
Oh, Monday. Sorry. Right.
Yeah. So, Monday at 10 a.m. And it's, you know, if you have a Talk account, if you do not have a Talk account, which is where our reservations are, then set it up now.
Yeah.
And get multiple people to go on as many devices.
As you can. Okay, good deal.
Yeah.
Is there anything else going on at Spoon you want to tell us about right now?
What else is going on at Spoon? You know, we're going to probably do, we're playing with, you know, we used to do the Saturday night ramen night.
Yeah.
We're playing with changing that up and possibly doing something with burgers, maybe. I don't know. We're still trying to figure it all out.
Whoa.
And play. Stay tuned. We'll have something coming up.
Okay.
Soon.
Well,
there's never a burger you didn't love, Steph.
I was going to say, this is a burger town. Let's be very clear about that. All right. And then, of course, just letting everybody know that Belcour on Grand Avenue is going to be opening at the Cook Space on August 12th. And that's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Right around the corner. And then all the reservations for September go live. And both Spoon and Stable and Demi tomorrow at noon. So Sunday at noon, all of September goes live. And if you haven't been into Demi, we'd love to have you. It's such a fun space. And of course, Spoon and Stable is amazing as is, and love to have you there.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Gavin. Go back and do baseball.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
All right. Take
care. Bye-bye. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Weekly Dish. Thanks for joining us today. I thought it's been a good show. I've been happy.
Yeah. Fun just talking about
stuff. I don't think we'll get
any
emails yelling at us today.
That's a good day.
I know. I think it's pretty good. We did. Ken asked on Twitter, what was the Italian piazza place you mentioned on top two? It is Undito, UNDITO, and it's in the backside of Italian Eatery in the Nokomis area. I think it's off of, I don't want to say Cedar. That doesn't feel right. And then Michelle
Close
asked,
to Cedar.
Was it Cedar?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I have a problem with roads down there. I really get things mixed up. I don't know why.
There's a Google for that.
I know. Okay, so Michelle asked, she said, you talked about all the barbecue, being all barbecue since the smoky air rolled in. For some reason, it's made me want beef stew. So she's doing that while she's listening to us. Oh my gosh, beef stew. That doesn't feel like a July thing for me. But now that you say it, I'm kind of feeling like that would be a really good thing to tuck into.
I'm confused by this weather about what to wear. because it looks cloudy and like it's going to rain and kind of, but then like you're out there and
I'm sort of in the same. I feel like I am finally like actually wearing clothes again that are not the same four things, you know?
Yeah, but did you?
Summer is the worst for clothes for me. I hate summer clothes.
I do too. Did you look at your closet though and you're just like, this is so like everything feels ugly and old.
Well,
and it's not like.
I mean, it is. It is.
I mean, we haven't worn anything for 2 years, so maybe that's why it feels. But just like.
Like what, like wearing stuff on TV. I was kind of like, okay.
Yeah, the TV clothes, like your fancy, dressy, like.
I have to do my hair. But I do.
Style my hair.
I know. But it was kind of funny because I don't. Yeah, it's like I've bought like six new pans and pots over the last year. Have I bought a new pair of jeans or a sweater? No, I have not.
That's funny. You've been buying cookware.
I have all the cookware. I'm totally going to buy that baking steel I keep talking about. And
if you have any extra cookware when you're unpacking things, Ellie is going to be starting up her kitchen. So if you have stuff, I want it.
I have a ton of things that I was just about to bring to Goodwill.
Oh, are they in your car? I'm
no.
taking them.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, bring them next week.
I'll put them in my car tonight.
Yeah, taking okay. it.
All right. Yeah, I have a couple really good like heavy bottom pots.
Perfect.
That I was just like, I don't use them. I don't need them. I have
She'll
got
take them.
Four of them. So
she'll take them.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about what's going on this weekend or what's happening. I did know that there's Brother Justice. I think there might still be tickets for their big feast that's happening today.
Mm-hmm.
I might try to pop over there before I go see you later. But they are, that's got Ye Vang and a couple other friends who are just cooking. Like, it's basically like a feast. Like, it's a walk up and grab goat feast. You know, and Yucca Fry Bar.
Whenever
and
you can grab goat, you should.
You really should. Seriously.
Goat's good.
So that's happening over at Brother Justice. I think you can still get tickets to that. Hey, guess what? Zoe Bakes has more episodes, finally.
You know what? I noticed that. And Stephanie Meyer, our friend, is made pot roast in one of them.
Yes! It's a huge... Here's the hard part. It all was shot in, like, September, October. And it's like they're all bundled up into, like, cozy wear. And they're doing, like, cozy
cute
foods.
Outfits.
And they're making, like, pot roast. And I'm kind of like, I just don't want it right now. But
but it sounds good.
But it sounds good. But I'm also jealous because that's the weather I want. I want scarves. I want hats. I want down vests.
Don't. It's coming. Just don't wish it upon us. It's coming fast enough.
But anyway, so if you guys don't have Magnolia Network yet, you're still on Discovery Plus.
Yeah, it's the whole reason why I subscribe.
Yeah, me too.
And
it's only $5 a month, yo. That's pretty good. So,
I need to watch some of the nature stuff.
On Discovery Plus?
Yeah, they have so many nature shows and I don't watch any of them.
I'm into the crime thing more than I am. I'm like designing crime. I just want the design and then I want the murderers.
What are you watching on crime on that?
I can't remember because I dip in and I dip out.
Okay, because I'm still watching.
Murdered Wives, I think I watched
Ray Donovan.
Murdered Wives. Why do I want to watch that? I don't know. I did.
That's funny.
Anyway, so Zoe's, she's got a couple new episodes up and they're going to keep rolling them out. So stay tuned and we'll watch them as they come. I'm excited. Letting you know that if you are got a vegan situation that you are, if you're, you know, looking for more interesting vegan foods, the Twin Cities Vegan Chefs Challenge is going on all of August. And what this is it's, they've got a lot of different restaurants from the Coconut Whisk Cafe, which is, you know, all vegan, but then they've also got Parkway Pizza on the list and Barbette and Red Stag. So these places are all featuring special vegan dishes that you can go and order specially and then you vote on. And then there's one, you know, there'll be a big winner at the end, I think. But it's interesting if you're always, I know a lot of people are like, I think that a lot of people want to try a vegan thing without having to maybe give their entire, you know, experience over to a vegan restaurant.
Yeah, kind of like a plant-based Monday or...
Yeah.
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 What's interesting is I think people have stopped finally asking us, like, my friend's a vegan, where is a vegan restaurant?
Yeah.
Because I don't think we're doing exclusively vegan restaurants.
There's a few.
I mean, yeah.
This is
Herbivorous Butcher, and there's a few experiences, but...
Well, like J. Selby, and you know what I mean? But the best that you can go to Barbette, or you can go to Red Stag, and there will be vegan dishes there.
Most places are now hip to that they need to have some gluten-free options, and they need to have some vegan options.
Yeah. And I mean, that's because they're catering to the people who have, you know, people are interested. And so that's wonderful, I think. So it's great. Also letting you know that Sunday, tomorrow, kicks off National Farmers Market Week. So definitely get out to a farmer's market. I cannot believe that I have not been to a farmer's market yet this year.
Oh, boy. I have a few crop failures. Carrots, I think, are going to be one of them.
So you have to go buy them?
Yeah, because I've got carrot tops up the wazoo, but the carrots are like an inch long and very spindly.
Okay.
And pickles. I think I'm not going to get good pickles.
Really?
No. So I think I'm going to maybe
I've been hearing that everybody else's cucumber plants are off the hook.
Yeah. I don't know why mine aren't. It could have been I did some heritage seeds this year.
Oh, maybe.
And I had some failures.
Yeah, maybe. I do like that I do like going to the market and seeing those big bushels of pickles, of like the cucumbers, the small ones. I think those are great.
I did make 8 pints of kraut, so...
Yeah, I saw that.
Got some kraut coming.
Okay.
I'm going to start giving you my kraut and pickles from last year that I still have, because I got to start rotating the jars.
Yeah, you actually should think about having like a date that you go, okay, well, if I still have these by this date, I need to start giving them away.
Yeah,
and I'm not here. Just a year. Not just, I mean, like, do it before.
Before the year?
Yeah, before it hits a year and you have to get rid of them. Because that also creates space and it kind of makes you want to do more things. Don't you think? Like, you're instead of holding on to them, you're just, I mean, you're going to give them away anyway because you're not going to eat them.
And my tomato sauce from last year that I still have canned, some of it. I think I maybe only have one jar left.
Oh, okay. I was like, all of my oven-dried tomatoes are gone.
I have
like,
so many tomatoes.
I get rid of my oven-dried tomatoes that I do are gone. Like, by, what, December even?
Yeah.
I mean, I use them so fast.
Pretty much.
So I kind of miss that.
That's if you, like, I mean, I have a recipe for these that I did in the cookbook, but just go and buy a bushel of Romas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've talked about it a million times.
And just cut them in half and dry them out in the oven. And, yep.
That's easy. And it just, I mean, I used the cherry ones too, the rot, because I had a whole abundance last year of just like letting them go.
I have an errant cherry tomato, I think, that I don't remember planting, but I think I have it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it came up from like last year, but I got it. I haven't been to the garden in a couple, 5 days. 5 days at the garden is like a lifetime.
Yeah.
Because I'll go up there and I'll have monster zucchini that I didn't even know were growing.
Right, because it was like,
Yeah, and maybe I'll have like a pickle. I'm trying to get Japanese eggplant. That's my goal this year, but I don't know if I've got enough time.
Do you ever do turnips? Do you ever do
Yes, I did those Japanese turnips, and I have a great glazed recipe for glazed.
Because I always remember you're the ones who likes to eat them
cooked. I do. I love them roasted.
I did want to let you know about this. I got a note from the Four Seasons Foraging Kids, which I think that this is a lot of people think of foraging. We always talk about it in the springtime, right?
Yeah.
And I love the fact that they sent me this note because they have 2 classes in August that they're kind of like putting out there. And I think they're really fun. So foraging field day trip where you get to go 45 minutes outside of town with the foraging pros. And they're going to show you how to do, stinging nettles, wild mint. They're going to look for mushrooms. They're going to talk about where to look and how to look. I know.
Huh. That sounds fun.
Really great. And then they have one in town called Foraging for Summer Fruits. And this one I love because I know that we have a ton of wild plums around town. We have aronias. We've got all these different like fruits.
Elderflower berries.
Yes, that you can
June
eat.
Berries from the serviceberry trees.
And they're like off the side of the greenway. Like you can walk on the greenway and there's wild plums, but I wouldn't know which ones to pick.
Uh-huh.
So I really like that idea. It's Foraging for Summer Fruit. It's Four Seasons Foraging, if you're looking for that. And they're linked in the feed. So if you want to just go to the feed, you can find it there because I did put it in there because I was very excited by that. And I do love the fact of like thinking about fall foraging, you know, instead of just always talking about ramps, for God's sakes, you know, all the things. Did you also hear, by the way, that there are 2 new vendors that they announced at the state fair?
Yeah, something Cajun cheese curds.
Yeah, there's cheese curds. Solemn Concessions is going to do blueberry mini donuts, which I am here for that. That's great. And then they're going to have cheese curds with multiple flavors, like a garlic. They said that the Cajun is the first Cajun at the fair, but I feel like...
I felt the same way, Stephanie. Like, we've had these before.
Yeah, that's not... And maybe we've had them at other places, but I don't know. But so they're there. Baba's Hummus Bowls are the other one.
Okay.
And I think it's about time we had a hummus bowl at the fair. How come we haven't? I mean, I guess I always thought Holy Land would do a hummus bowl of some sort, but they've got hummus with different toppings. And I think the beef shawarma with lemon sauce, parsley, pine nuts, and sumac sounds delicious.
It's just fun to listen to you say shawarma.
Shawarma. It's my favorite. They do have a dill pickle hummus, which I'm a little worried about.
Oh, no, that sounds delicious.
Does it? With cheese curds and onions on top, crispy onions on top of the dill pickle hummus.
Yum.
Okay.
Quickly.
Yeah.
There is a bakery that is called Songbird Kitchens.
Okay.
And you order things and then you pick them up. And it's online at Instagram called Songbird Kitchens. And I had these goat cheese frosted cookies that were almost like, they tasted like a cinnamon roll. It was like a pumpkin-y, cinnamon-y, cakey cookie.
Wait,
that had this delicious cream goat cheesy frosting on it that I can't stop thinking about. Songbird Kitchens.
Was it a... The goat cheese was in the cookie, or was it frosted?
No, the goat cheese was in the frosting.
Okay.
It was so good.
Okay.
I can't stop thinking about it. I have some in my refrigerator.
Where do you pick it up from?
Her location, and she's got different places. Go on Instagram. She's got an order form. You're all set.
Okay. I don't have. Yeah, I just looked at her website. Boutique Bakery Custom Catering, April, Songbird Kitchen.
Yeah. Okay. One of the people that has come out of the pandemic on Instagram. Rachel's pasta. Oh, I cannot stop following that woman.
Well, have you ordered it?
No, because I'm never home to get it.
Oh, God. Her pasta is spectacular.
I know. I cannot.
I can't even say it right. The curligionis, but like her little raviolis, everything is. I still have some of her green pasta in my freezer. I should go eat that.
Yeah.
All right, gang. Thanks for hanging out tonight. We'll see you guys later. Ciao, ciao.